The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various websites, not limited to, but including ACB, AFB, Foundation Fighting Blindness, NFB, NOPBC, and here's our first article. From AFB.org, Digital Accessibility Bootcamp. Why choose accessibility? In today's tech-driven world, the impact of our creations extends far beyond visuals and lines of code. Accessibility is not just a feature, it's a fundamental right. AFB's Digital Accessibility Bootcamp is a three-month summer experience offering computer science students the opportunity to learn how to design and build digital solutions that break down barriers, ensuring that everyone, regardless of ability, can fully engage with the digital landscape. What will you gain? Practical learning. Learn by doing in a project-based curriculum, ensuring you leave with skills you can instantly apply. Our foundation coursework will teach you the principles of digital inclusion in design and development, as well as how to use assistive technology such as screen readers. Cutting-edge skills. Stand out from the crowd by enhancing your portfolio with integrated accessibility projects showcasing your skills. Through our interactive modules, practice activities, and assessments, you will produce a collection of work demonstrating your ability to apply accessibility principles within your work. You will also be able to earn digital credentials, there's a hot link for that, which you can integrate into your resume, portfolio, and LinkedIn accounts. Mentorship and networking. Gain insights from our accessibility experts and usability specialists who will serve as your mentors in the program. You will also have the opportunity to connect with tech industry professionals who are leading the charge for inclusive technology within their companies. What to expect? AFB's Digital Accessibility Bootcamp provides students the opportunity to participate in hands-on learning, build practical experience, and interact with potential employers. Participants are expected to engage fully in all aspects of the program, including foundational coursework, independent and team-oriented projects, and meetings with program mentors and guest speakers. Benefits. Number one, flexibility. Fully remote experience to participate from anywhere in the United States. Number two, incentives. $1,000 midpoint milestone award and $2,000 scholarship award upon successful completion of the boot camp. Number three, tech toolkit. A personal welcome kit, including an iPad for hands-on learning with iOS accessibility tools, access to UDEMY for additional PD, and an exclusive program T-shirt to support on your program pride. Commitments. Number one, dedicate approximately 20 to 25 hours per week, Monday through Friday, during the summer. Number two, access to a reliable internet connection and a computer for a seamless remote learning experience. Bootcamp selection criteria. AFB's Digital Accessibility Bootcamp participants are selected through an application and interview process. To be eligible to apply, applicants must be enrolled in college full-time or another higher education program, be studying computer science, UX design, or a related field, be a resident of the United States throughout the summer, have a minimum 3.0 GPA. Apply now. Applications for the Summer 2026 Digital Accessibility Bootcamp will be accepted November 3, 2025 through January 30, 2026. The application will ask for information about you, including your contact information, work eligibility, and education experiences. You will also be asked to provide the following: answers to several open-ended essay questions, about one paragraph each, a professional resume in PDF or Word format only, optional link to a project that you have worked on, either through a class or on your own. Examples include presentations, code or design assignments, or a personal or community project. Work samples must be provided through a link to your work sample on the web or in your own cloud storage. We cannot accept uploads of work samples. The application should take around 45 to 60 minutes to complete, and we strongly recommend completing the application in full in a single session. The application form will not save your progress if you exit or navigate away from the form without submitting the completed application. There's a hot link to apply now. Video interview process. Each written application will be reviewed, and selected candidates will be invited to submit a video interview. Detailed instructions for the video interview will be provided to selected candidates. However, you can expect to be asked to record yourself on camera, answering about 5 interview questions to be provided, maximum 8 minutes. Use the device of your choice to record the video, for example, smartphone, webcam on laptop or desktop, and so forth. Submit only one video containing your responses to all questions. Tidy videos are greatly appreciated, but no advanced video editing or effects are required. Important dates. Applications accepted November 3, 2025 to January 30, 2026. Video interview submission period February 13 to March 1, 2026. Acceptance notifications March 20 to April 3, 2026. Boot camp duration June 1 to August 28, 2026. Contact the AFB programs team at that hot link. Download the Digital Accessibility Bootcamp Flyer PDF at another hot link. Interested in leveling up? Upon successful completion of the Digital Accessibility Bootcamp, you will be eligible to apply for the Work Study Internship Program. Learn more about our Digital Accessibility Work Study and how to apply at this hot link. Limited seats available. From NFB.org, We Move Together, a matching gift challenge to advance the lives of blind people. National Federation of the Blind. Every dollar you give doubles. Join the National Federation of the Blind and our partners this fall as we lace up, step out, and raise funds to support greater opportunities for blind people. To help fuel our progress, all gifts will be doubled up to $50,000 from October 1 to December 31, thanks to a generous matching gift from Humanware. When you give this week, you will be entered into a drawing to win a pair of Ray-Ban Meta Smart Glasses or a Stellar Trek. 3 ways to give and double your dollars. Give online at the hot link. Mail a check to the National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Contribute by phone using a credit card by calling 410-659-9314, extension 2430. Why do we move? I move because so many people in the NFB moved before me, and it's my turn to pay it forward for the people who come next. Elizabeth. Move, explore, and give today. This matching gift challenge is part of our 2025 NFB Coast to Coast Movement Challenge. Learn more and get involved at nfb.org/movers. About Humanware. As an industry leader, Humanware has developed more than 50 highly intuitive and intelligent solutions to change the lives of blind people. Humanware is dedicated to the promotion of literacy, accessibility, and independence wherever you want to go. The Federation's longtime partnership with Humanware has advanced equal access and fueled progress for the blind community. About the National Federation of the Blind. The National Federation of the Blind is a transformative membership and advocacy organization of blind people. Through our network of members and friends, we coordinate services and resources, provide education and support to blind children and adults, advocate for accessible technology, and help blind people live the lives they want. We believe in the hopes and dreams of blind people and work together to transform them into reality. From BorderBelt.org, Red Springs election protest centers on disability rights. The Robeson County Board of Elections sent the dispute to the state. Dateline, December 1. Article by Morgan Casey, C-A-S-E-Y. The Robeson County Board of Elections... Caption. Duran Burney, B-U-R-N-E-Y, who lost the Red Springs mayoral race by 2 votes, in November is challenging 18 absentee ballots cast by residents in a local assisted living facility. The Robeson County Board of Elections sent the election protest to the state board, which could decide whether the votes are valid. Caroline Sumter won 360 votes for mayor in the November 4 election, and Bernie won 358, according to the NC State Board of Elections. Both served on the town's Board of Commissioners before they ran for mayor. In a protest filed with the Robeson County Board of Elections, Bernie alleged that employees of Red Springs Assisted Living illegally helped residents request and cast absentee ballots. Crystal Graham, an attorney representing Bernie during a November 21 hearing before the county board, said the employees failed to fill out Section 7 of the ballot request form, which asks whether the person filling out the paperwork is doing so on behalf of, quote, a near relative, legal guardian, or person the voter asks to help due to disability, end quote. The form says any person requesting the ballot on behalf of another must complete and sign this section. How does that affect the vote? Graham said to the board. Well, it spoils the absentee ballot because they should never have gotten it in the first place. But Corey Dunn, C-O-R-Y-E-D-U-N-N, Director of Public Policy for Disability Rights North Carolina, told the Border Belt Independent that the residents' votes should be counted. The nonprofit filed a lawsuit against the State Board of Elections in 2022 in U.S. District Court in Eastern North Carolina, alleging that the board violated the Federal Voting Rights Act by limiting who can provide voting assistance to those with disabilities. Under the Voting Rights Act, anyone except a voter's employer or union representative can help them vote, the court said. The decision forced the state to broaden the list of who can help a voter with a disability to include people like employees of assisted living facilities. However, sections of North Carolina's general statute don't reflect this language. Despite being updated in 2023 following the court case, the law still states that it's a felony for anyone except the voter's near relative or the voter's verifiable legal guardian to assist the voter to vote an absentee ballot. Dunn said the court's ruling and federal voting rights law should supersede the state statute. While the facility employees didn't fill out the disability section of the absentee ballot application on behalf of the residents, the County Elections Board deemed the requests adequate and sent the ballots. That's what we would call a harmless error, Dunn said. If the error doesn't actually change the outcome of a case, in this case the eligibility of a voter, then it shouldn't be used as a technical bar. Gretchen Lutz, G-R-E-T-C-H-E-N-L-U-T-Z, chair of the County Elections Board, said members were in a quandary. Federal law says that anybody can help, but our form doesn't reflect that since it wasn't filled out properly, she said during the hearing. So while they may legally be able to help, they still did not fill out the form saying, hey, we're doing this. Bernie told the Border Belt Independent that he was happy the local board sent the case to the state. Everybody will be pleased with the outcome, he said. At the end of the day, we want everybody to feel comfortable with the state law and federal law. Sumter said she was disappointed by the decision. To those who are supporting this campaign and who are opposing this campaign, right will prevail, Sumter told the Border Belt Independent. I want to be mayor. Let's not question that. But not on the pretense of cutting someone else's rights up from under them or casting doubt on our electoral system. Bernie said he challenged the votes after he learned that about 20 absentee ballots came from the same address, 1301 East 4th Avenue, home to Red Springs Assisted Living. He protested 19 of the ballots, but one was deemed invalid because it had incomplete witness information. 12 of the ballots were from people who have consistently voted absentee by mail in previous elections. Bernie's protest specifically highlights 7 voters who were deemed incompetent and placed under guardianship by state courts or county social services departments. Graham called a witness, the sister-in-law of a resident at the assisted living facility, who testified during the hearing that residents weren't mentally capable of voting or agreeing to receive help in voting. However, the board said much of the testimony was invalid because it was secondhand evidence. People deemed incompetent and placed under guardianship still have the right to vote, according to state law, so long as they're otherwise eligible. Mental capacity is not a limiting factor. Guardianship has nothing to do with capacity to vote, Dunn said. There's no test for capacity to vote. It would be a poll test, and it's very clear in federal law that poll tests are impermissible. Technicalities and loopholes in voting laws worry Dunn and Common Cause North Carolina, a nonpartisan organization dedicated to protecting voting rights. A volunteer with Common Cause North Carolina attended the hearing. Just because it happens in Red Springs, a small municipality, doesn't mean it's not important, said Brooks Fuller, policy director for the organization. It is a microcosm of some of the things we're likely to see in 2026, 2027, and 2028. It really underscores the importance of voting laws and voting rights laws that make it so very every legal ballot can be cast. Fuller said the Red Springs protest is an example of how restrictive election laws can create an environment where it's easier to challenge legal votes than it is to defend them. He worries that proposed legislation in the NC General Assembly, like House Bill 958, could allow for more challenges. If passed, the bill would make several changes to election law, including setting deadlines for when counties must count all absentee and provisional ballots. Dunn said she is concerned that more people will question the votes of people with disabilities in future elections if the state board doesn't dismiss Bernie's protest. If your best argument for why you should be in office is that you believe that someone filled out a form wrong, and therefore you should be able to disenfranchise your constituents, that's troubling, she said. It would be a really troubling precedent for people with disabilities statewide if that's all you have to do is throw out ballots. Fuller said the General Assembly could rewrite election laws to clear up technicalities. He said state lawmakers could also increase resources for local election boards' multipartisan assistance teams, MAT, to ensure the forms are filled out properly. The teams help voters in hospitals, clinics, and assisted living facilities register to vote and cast their ballots. Sumter said her campaign manager, Wixie Stevens, asked the county elections board as early as October 22 to send a team to Red Springs Assisted Living to help residents get identification cards and fill out absentee ballot request forms. However, she said the board was ultimately unable to do so because it does not have the technology to produce IDs off-site. If the General Assembly wants to undertake true pro-voter reform, Fuller said, this is just one of the ways that they can help that. From ACB.org, posted December 4th, Notice of Digital Accessibility Settlement Concerning Husqvarna's Websites. A proposed settlement has been reached that would resolve the class action lawsuit Douglas v. Husqvarna Professional Products Incorporated, case number 2:25-CV-00771, filed in WDPA. The lawsuit alleges that Husqvarna Professional Products, Inc. violated the Americans with Disabilities Act, 42 U.S. Code Sections 12101 and sequential, by failing to take the necessary steps to ensure its website and mobile apps does not discriminate against individuals who are blind or have a visual disability. Under the settlement, Husqvarna agrees to make its website and any new website or mobile app it develops or acquires accessible to individuals who are blind and or who have a visual disability. For more complete summary of the terms of the proposed settlement, please visit https://www.husqvarna-settlement.com. Have questions? Contact East End Trial Group at https://eastendtrialgroup.com. From ClearStartTax.com, tax benefits for people with disabilities in 2025, what you need to know. Key takeaways. With the unique financial challenges you may face due to a disability, understanding the tax benefits available to you can significantly ease your burden. You may be eligible for various credits, deductions, and special savings accounts designed to reduce your tax liability and support your expenses. This guide will help you navigate key tax breaks, ensuring you take full advantage of opportunities tailored to your specific situation and maximize your financial benefits. The tax credit for the elderly or disabled threshold and the additional standard deduction for blind taxpayers offer significant tax relief for qualifying individuals based on age, disability status, and income limits. ABLE accounts provide tax-advantaged savings specifically for disability-related expenses without affecting eligibility for government benefits, with contributions up to $19,000 in 2025. Various tax credits and deductions, including the Earned Income Tax Credit, Child and Dependent Care Credit, impairment-related work expenses, and medical expense deductions help reduce the financial burden associated with disabilities. IRS tax credit for the elderly and disabled. The tax credit for the elderly or disabled offers a valuable opportunity to lower your tax bill if you are at least 65 years old or permanently and totally disabled. Depending on your adjusted gross income and whether you receive Social Security benefits, this credit can range from $3,750 to $7,500. Carefully reviewing eligibility and income limits helps you determine if this credit fits your situation and how much relief you could gain. How to qualify, eligibility criteria, and income limits. To qualify, you must be 65 or older or certified by a physician as permanently and totally disabled. Your adjusted gross income, AGI, must fall under specific limits relative to your filing status. $17,500 for singles, $20,000 if married filing jointly, one spouse qualifies, and up to $25,000 if both spouses qualify. Disability income caps range from $3,750 to $7,500, tailored to those thresholds to ensure the credit targets those needing the most financial support. Potential financial impact. This credit can deliver between $3,750 and $7,500 depending on your income and filing status, substantially easing your tax burden. For example, a married couple filing jointly with both spouses disabled and an AGI below $25,000 could claim the full $7,500, directly reducing the amount of tax owed and potentially increasing any refund due. The financial impact can be particularly meaningful if your income aligns near the lower end of the qualifying thresholds. For instance, a single taxpayer with a disability and an AGI under $17,500 might see a tax credit of $5,000, effectively lowering taxable income and freeing up funds for crucial living or medical expenses. This credit not only recognizes the extra challenges you face, but also provides tangible monetary relief based on your unique financial situation. ABLE accounts for people with disabilities. ABLE accounts allow you to build savings specifically for disability-related expenses without jeopardizing eligibility for necessary benefits like Medicaid or Supplemental Security Income. By contributing up to $19,000 annually for 2025, you can grow a tax-advantaged fund that cushions against future costs tied to education, housing, health care, and more. Using an ABLE account strategically enhances your long-term financial stability, helping you cover necessary expenses while maintaining critical government benefits. How ABLE accounts work and who qualifies. You establish an ABLE account if your disability began before age 26, enabling after-tax contributions up to $19,000 per year for 2025. The money grows tax-free, and withdrawals are also tax-free when spent on qualified disability expenses. Unlike regular savings, funds in an ABLE account don't count against means-tested benefits, ensuring you can save without risking financial aid related to your disability. Qualified disability expenses covered. Funds withdrawn from an ABLE account can be used tax-free on a broad array of qualified expenses, including education, housing, transportation, assistive technology, support devices, and health care. This comprehensive list allows you to address various costs that arise due to your disability while maximizing tax benefits. Diving deeper, qualified disability expenses stretch beyond just medical bills. Education costs include tuition, supplies, and special education services, while housing covers rent, mortgage payments, and utilities. Transportation expenses may involve vehicle modifications or specialized transit fees. Assistive technologies and support devices range from hearing aids to wheelchairs, supporting greater independence. Healthcare includes insurance premiums and out-of-pocket treatment costs. This wide coverage makes ABLE accounts a flexible and powerful tool for managing the many financial demands tied to disability. IRS standard deduction for blind taxpayers in 2025. If you are legally blind, you can claim an additional standard deduction on your federal tax return, which increases your tax savings. For tax year 2024, this extra deduction is $1,950 if you file as single or head of household, and $1,550 if married, filing jointly, or qualifying surviving spouse. Combined with the regular standard deduction, which ranges from $14,600 to $29,200 depending on your filing status, this additional amount can significantly lower your taxable income and reduce the overall tax you owe. Criteria for legal blindness. The IRS considers you legally blind if your best corrected vision in your better eye is 20/200 or worse, or if your field of vision is 20 degrees or less. This means even with glasses or contacts, your visual acuity is substantially impaired, or you have a very narrow field of vision. A qualified eye care professional certification may be necessary to claim this status when filing your tax return. How deductions influence tax returns. The additional standard deduction for blindness directly reduces your taxable income, which may lower your tax bracket and the total taxes you owe. For example, if you file as single, adding $1,950 to your standard deduction reduces your taxable income by that amount, potentially saving you hundreds in taxes. This benefits tax with other deductions and credits for people with disabilities, amplifying your overall tax relief. Lowering your taxable income through the extra deduction can also impact eligibility for other tax credits by keeping your income within certain limits. Taxpayers who are blind often combine this deduction with other allowances, such as the credit for the elderly or disabled or impairment-related work expense deductions, maximizing their refund. Strategic use of these deductions might also decrease your liability for Medicare premiums or phase-outs of other benefits tied to income levels. Maximize your refund with the Earned Income Tax Credit, EITC. The Earned Income Tax Credit, EITC, offers a valuable financial boost for workers with disabilities by supplementing income and reducing tax liability. Several types of disability-related income can count as earned income, including employer-paid disability insurance and disability retirement benefits received before retirement age. By meeting specific income and filing requirements, you can tap into this refundable credit, potentially increasing your tax refund significantly. Properly understanding and applying the EITC rules can make a meaningful difference in your yearly tax outcome. Eligibility and income thresholds. For tax year 2024, the EITC eligibility depends on your filing status, number of qualifying children, and adjusted gross income, AGI. If you have no children, your AGI must be below $18,591, single or head of household, or $25,511 if you're married, filing jointly. With one child, these limits rise to $49,084, single, head of household, and $56,004 MFG, increasing further with two or more children. Additionally, your investment income cannot exceed $11,600. Qualifying disability payments can count as earned income, broadening eligibility for disabled workers. The potential refund for disabled workers. The EITC can provide a substantial refund, especially for families with multiple qualifying children. In 2024, the maximum credit reaches up to $7,830 for taxpayers with three or more children. This credit not only reduces your tax owed, but can result in a sizable refund, offsetting costs related to disability and daily living expenses effectively. For example, if you are a single parent with two children and an AGI under $55,768, you could qualify for an EITC of several thousand dollars. This refundable credit is especially advantageous if disability-related payments count as earned income, increasing both your eligibility and the amount you receive. There's more, but I'm out of time for this week's Vision News. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next week. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.